myself as well, but I hadn't thought of it, that that one of the biggest ways we learn is by practicing how to create the world that we want, you know, right here and now, as you know, as a practice for the future. She was a great interview. That's, you know, it's such an honor for me to be able to travel around and meet all of these different people who are really creating their own choices and their own lives without a textbook example of how to ethically go forward in this state, you know. And how to create your own life, doing the best that you can, inevitably being hypocritical sometimes, within this uber capitalist, uber violent society. And so it's a real honor for me to be able to learn from all these people. I feel like I'm finally getting somewhere. Sometimes I say it was my self-funded cheapo grad school.
Yeah, you're probably better off than the rest of the people that are in this room doing this show. We're all in grad school, and we think you're doing a better job.
Well, thank you. I like to think so, too. It's terrible.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. And if you just stay on the phone for one more second, I want to tell you a couple of things about the archive of this program so that you can have it for later.
Wonderful. Hey, thanks to everybody out there. Check out my website, www.anarcha.org. And if you know somebody in the Southeast that you'd like me to interview, or if you want to get in contact with me about the project, you can visit the website or email me at kate@anarcha.org.
Cool.
Thanks.
All right. And for the rest of you, some music.
Where I've been before, and nobody recognizes me. And when they do, if they do, they don't believe it's me. It's there under that layer of my wing. I've been on the road for a number of years now, met many faces along the way. Once in a while, one of those faces stirs my memories. Old friends and romance make my day. Sometimes I come back to a place where I've been before, and nobody recognizes me. When they do, if they do, they don't believe it's me in there, under that layer of my way. Thank you.
So that was the Dolly Ranchers with Layer of Highway. And we played that because it's such a great long cross-country road trip song. So that was kind of in honor of Kate. And now to kind of contradict what Kate just said, but we kind of can't recognize our four mothers on a show like this. So I actually do have a paragraph of Voltairine and a paragraph of Emma that I'd like to share, probably because they are relevant to stuff we've been talking about. So first, this is Voltairine to Claire on methods, and this is kind of harking back to our first caller, like, yeah, these ideals are great, but, well, where are we now? Okay, so here's Voltairine, 100 years ago. Apart from the question of ideals, there's the question of method. How do you propose to get all this, is the question most frequently asked us. The same modification has taken place here. Formerly, there were Quakers and revolutionists, so there are still. But while they neither thought well of the other, now both have learned that each has his own use in the great play of world forces. While it would be idle to say that anarchists in general believe that any of the great industrial problems will be solved without the use of force, it would be equally idle to suppose that they consider force itself a desirable thing, or that it furnishes a final solution to any problem. From peaceful experiment alone can come final solution, and the advocates of force know and believe this as well as the Tolstoyans. Only they think that the present tyrannies provoke the resistance. I can see no end of retaliation unless someone ceases to retaliate, but let no one mistake this for servile submission or meek abnegation. My right shall be asserted no matter at what cost to me, and none shall trench upon it without my protest. That was Voltairine. And here is good old Emma. We couldn't not do Emma today. And this has to do with, I don't know, I was thinking about this with what Sarah was talking about earlier about listening to difference, being really specific about where you're coming from, but also not insisting that everybody else be coming from there. So here's Emma. Peace or harmony between the sexes and individuals does not necessarily depend on a superficial equalization of human beings, nor does it call for the elimination of individual traits and peculiarities. The problem that confronts us today, and which the nearest future is to solve, is how to be oneself, and yet in oneness with others, to feel deeply with all human beings and still retain one's own characteristic qualities. This seems to me to be the basis upon which the mass and the individual, the true democrat and the true individuality, man and woman, can meet without antagonism and opposition. The motto should not be forgive one another, rather understand one another.
Cool. Thanks, Maya.
What can I say? I'm a historian. So what? 100 years ago, you know.
All right, we're going to go again into a little bit of music. We're winding down into the last 20 minutes of this show. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, broadcasting without a license from the FCC and online at freakradio.org. You can call us at area code 831-427-3772. Otherwise, you can just sit back and continue to enjoy the show.
Just a living people. Hi, this is a little soundbite from Patriarchy and Accumulation on a World Scale. Where are we today? The women's liberation movement is perhaps the most controversial, as well as the most far-reaching of the new social movements. The ecology movement, the alternative movement, the peace movement, and others. By its very existence, it provokes people. Whereas one can lead a dispassionate intellectual or political discourse on the ecology question, the peace issue, the issue of third world dependency, the woman question invariably leads to highly emotional reactions from men and from many women. It is a sensitive issue for each person. The reason for this is that the women's movement does not address its demands mainly to some external agency or enemy, such as the state, the capitalists, as the other movements do, but addresses itself to people in their most intimate human relations. The relationship between women and men, with a view to changing these relations. Therefore, the battle is not between particular groups with common interests or political goals and some external enemy, but takes place within women and men and between women and men. Every person is forced, sooner or later, to take sides. And taking sides means that something within ourselves gets torn apart, that what we thought was our identity disintegrates and has to be created anew. This is a painful process. Most men and women try to avoid it because they fear that if they allow themselves to become aware of the true nature of the man-woman relationship in our societies, the last island of peace, of harmony, in the cold, brutal world of money-making, power games, and greed will be destroyed. Moreover, if they allow this issue to enter their consciousness, they will have to admit that they themselves, women and men, are not only victims, on the one side women, and villains, men, on the other, but that they are also accomplices in the system of exploitation and oppression that binds women and men together, and that if they want to come to a truly free human relationship, they will have to give up their complicity. This is not only so for men whose privileges are based on the system, but also for women whose material existence is often bound up with it.
And we found found happy homes for them that night too. So it was all good, you know. Baby, for about $10 a song. And I want you to pay me for my beauty. Yes, I think it's only right. Cause I have been paying for it all of my life. And I just wanna take. And lonely in an old New York hotel, a stranger to a city that she used to know so well, bathing in a bathroom that is bathed in the first blue light of the beginning of a century at the end of an endless night. And then she's wet behind the ears and wafting down the avenue. Pre-rush hour, post-rain shower, stillness seeping upwards like steam from another molten sewer. Summer in New York. They've been spraying us with chemicals in our sleep. Us, they, something about the mosquitoes having some kind of disease. Them, me, CIA, foul play. If you ask the guy selling hair dryers out of a gym bag, chemical warfare. I'm telling you, lab rat to lab rat, he says. That's where the truth is at. That's where the truth is at. That's where the truth is at. And everything seems to have gone terribly wrong that can. But one breath at a time is an acceptable plan, she tells herself.
and the air is still there. And this morning it's even breathable, and for a second the relief is unbelievable. And she's a heavy sack of flour, sifted her burden, lifted, and she's full of clean wind for one lean moment. And then she's trapped again, reverted, caged, and contorted, with no way to get free. She got a plenty of little kisses, but nobody's slipping her the key. And her whole life is a long list of what ifs, and she doesn't even know where to begin. And the pageantry of suffering therein rivals television. TV is, after all, the modern-day Roman Colosseum. Human devastation as mass entertainment. And now millions sit cheering, collectively cheering, the bloodthirsty hierarchy of the patriarchal arrangement. And she's hailing the cab, she's sailing down the avenue. She's 19, going on 30, or maybe she's really 30 now. It's hard to say. It's hard to keep up with time once it's on its way. No, she never had much of a chance. Born into a family built like an avalanche. And somewhere in the 80s, between the old brand and ozone, she started to think about shit like, why? Why? I mean, why? 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 One eye pointed upwards, looking at the holes in the sky. Another eye on the little flashing red light. A Picasso face twisted and listing down the canvas of the end of an endless night. You're done for, you're done for good. So tell me, did you do all you could?
Ani DiFranco, and off of a live version, off of a live album called So Much Shouting, So Much Laughter. That was a live version of Letter to a John, and then segueing into Tembre Itza Lingua. We're going to be closing out this segment of the Feminist Radio Collective slot here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. I just wanted to read one more thing and then give you some resources online so that you can, if you have the internet. I was talking to someone at the book fair on Saturday, and he said, "Do you have the internet?" And I had this feeling like I had it in my pocket, like a acorn or something. So we've been reading a bit from a book, and there's obviously a lot of books that you can read from. This book is a good start if you want to sort of tap into stuff. Maya talked about it at the beginning of the show. It's called Quiet Rumors, an Anarcho-Feminist Reader. These are texts collected by Dark Star. Which, do you want to say something about them, or do you want to, no. So it came out on AK Press, and it came out in 2002, so it's relatively recent, but what it collects is a lot of sort of classic articles on the subject, which also get circulated online quite a bit.
Most of which actually originally appeared as kind of pamphlets and self-published zines and pamphlets. And this also relates to what Kate was talking about, that there's a lot of this stuff that happens not through big high-profile things, but people everywhere are putting out their stuff themselves. And I think that's one of the good things about this book, is that like some of the most important thinking and acting is getting recorded in these ways that have been pretty evanescent, and people don't get to share them and perpetuate them. And that's, I think, a good thing about this book.
Yeah. And it's one of the things that there are a couple of other books that that I've been thinking some about. There's a book called An Archive of Feeling, which is about lesbian public spaces, public cultures, and, you know, archives that are beginning to preserve them.
But yeah, I like that book a lot too. And that's because archives isn't all just, you know, it's not just books. It's not just canonized things. It's like, what are the stuff that, like, you know, flyers and pamphlets and posters and art and just things that come out of people living in movements. And all of that is, that's where, that's the archive. The archive isn't some, like, you know, brick wall.
Official documents of the government. Yeah, it's ephemera. A lot of the time it's ephemera. So I just wanted to read a little bit of another classic article by a woman named Peggy Korniger called Anarchism, the Feminist Connection. And she begins this article, she says, 11 years ago, when I was in a small town Illinois high school, I had never heard of the word anarchism at all. The closest I came to it was knowing that anarchy meant chaos. As for socialism and communism, my history classes somehow conveyed the message that there was no difference between them and fascism, a word that brought to mind Hitler, concentration camps, and all kinds of horrible things which never happened in a free country like ours. I was being subtly taught to swallow the bland pablum of traditional American politics. Moderation, compromise, front standing, Chuck Persia's Wonder Boy. I learned the lesson well. It took me years to recognize the bias and distortion which had shaped my entire education. The history of white mankind had meant just that. As a woman, I was relegated to a vicarious existence. And this also is an older article. As an anarchist, I had no existence at all. A whole chunk of the past, and thus possibilities for the future, had been kept from me. Only recently did I discover that many of my disconnected political impulses and inclinations shared a common framework. That is, the anarchist or libertarian tradition of thought. It was like suddenly seeing red after years of colorblind grays. Emma Goldman furnished me my first definition of anarchism. This is a quote. Anarchism, then, really stands for the liberation of the human mind from the dominion of religion, the liberation of the human body from the dominion of property, liberation from the shackles and restraints of government. Anarchism stands for a social order based on the free grouping of individuals for the purpose of producing real social wealth, an order that will guarantee to every human being free access to the earth and full enjoyment of the necessities of life, according to individual desires, tastes, and inclinations. I'm going to skip a little bit. She gives some good history about Spanish anarchists and women's role in those movements and just history in general. And then she segues into one of the connections that we've been drawing on and I think problematizing too in this show, which is the way that we can't have, the way that sometimes we do, and maybe we shouldn't have a simplistic association with women and with women's experience in some unmediated or unconditioned way and as an expression of anarchism. So I wanted to read these things in the mode of reading them, but also somewhat critiquing them. So she's talking about the way that anarchism and the women's movement of the 70s are connected. She says, radical feminist theory also criticizes male hierarchical thought patterns in which rationality dominates sensuality, mind dominates intuition, and persistent splits and polarities, active, passive, child, adult, sane, insane, work, play, spontaneity, organization, alienate us from the mind-body experience as a whole and from the continuum of human experience. Women are attempting to get rid of these splits to live in harmony with the universe as a whole, integrated humans dedicated to the collective healing of our individual wounds and schisms. If we want to bring down the patriarchy, we need to talk about anarchism, to know exactly what it means, and to use that framework to transform ourselves and the structure of our daily lives. Feminism doesn't mean female corporate power or a woman president. It means no corporate power and no presidents. The Equal Rights Amendment will not transform society. It only gives women the right to plug into a hierarchical economy. Challenging sexism means challenging all hierarchy, economic, political, and personal. And that means an anarcho-feminist revolution. We got to close out. Thank you so much for being with us on this show. Thanks to Joanna for coming in. Thanks to Kate and Sarah for calling in. My name's Alexis. I'm here with Maya. We're co-hosts of this.
My name's Maya.
And please tune in again next week for the next installment of the Feminist Radio Collective project. More fabulousness. Here's about 2 seconds of PJ Harvey's song called 50 Foot Queenie, and then please stay tuned for the fabulous Democracy Now. Have a good one.